Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. That's not an easy line to say, because in my heart I say, I want glory. But as Christ transforms us from the inside and gives us his heart, then truly we have a heart that wants to magnify the name of Jesus and not to glorify my name, but our hearts want to glorify your name. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, Jesus rebukes hypocrisy. The title of the message is Jesus rebukes hypocrisy. Mark 7, 1 to 23. The Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him when they had come from Jerusalem and had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves, and there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. The Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands? And he said to them, Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. He was also saying to them, You are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, Honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, If a man says to his father or his mother, Whatever I have that would help you is Corban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother. Thus, invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that. After he called the crowd to him again, he began saying to them, Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside the man which can defile him. It goes into him, if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, Are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into a man from outside cannot defile him? But it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is eliminated. Thus he declared all foods clean. And he was saying, That which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. We have a rule at our home. I've made the rule. No phones at the table. I find it annoying when our kids are texting or playing games or whatever, and that's kind of our, 15 minutes of family time. And just about a week or so ago, my kid said, Well, Dad, you use your phone. I admit that maybe once or twice I've used my phone. I asked my wife later, and she said, You use your phone quite a bit. So I don't know. Am I blind, or are they exaggerating? But that might be an example of hypocrisy, saying one thing and doing another. Everybody hates hypocrites. Nobody likes a hypocrite except Satan. Satan loves hypocrites. The thing is, hypocrites can't see their own faults, but they can see everybody else's. It's like a blind spot. Most of our vehicles have blind spots that you can't see. If there's a vehicle coming, or if a vehicle is beside you, for a brief moment, you can't see that vehicle. And so, same as us, we too have blind spots that we can't see, but everybody else can. And so we go about pretending or acting that these blind spots aren't there, but everybody else can see them. Now, speaking of blind spots, my wife doesn't like driving with me because I tend to, when I want to change lanes, signal, shoulder check, and turn all at the same time. And so I look in my rearview mirror and I don't see anybody there. So as I'm turning, signaling, shouldering, whoa, there's somebody there. So it's happened more than once that there's actually a vehicle in the blind spot that I didn't see. And so a hypocrite is somebody who doesn't see their own blind spots. What else is a hypocrite? What else? How would you describe a hypocrite? Human conduct that is externally religious but insincerely motivated. You've got an outward action. You've got external performances that you do, but not sincere from the inside. The word actually means an actor, someone pretending to be what they aren't. The Pharisees, as we see from this passage and others, were more concerned about their reputation than with reality. And so Jesus wants to get to the heart of the issue. The Pharisees were technically called the separate ones. They separated themselves from anything that would be unclean. They were experts in the law. They believed holiness came from observing the law. Historian Josephus considered the Pharisees to be the most accurate interpreters of the law. And so we see from this passage that they were talking about impure hands, hands that are unwashed, or the NIV says, ceremonially unclean. This is not about hygiene. This is not about keeping your hands clean from spreading germs. This is about a ceremony, about traditions that have been passed down from generations past. They had a rigorous system of how you had to wash your hands after you came from the marketplace. If you might have touched somebody unclean before you eat, there was a process, there was a tradition of how you had to wash your hands. And so that's what the Pharisees were talking about. The disciples obviously hadn't done this ceremonial cleansing, and so the Pharisees alerted Jesus that his followers didn't wash like the traditions say they should. The Pharisees were more concerned about the oral traditions or the traditions of the elders. They believed in the law of Moses, the Old Testament, the five books of the Old Testament, the Old Testament scriptures that we have. They believed in that, but they also believed that there was oral traditions, oral laws that were passed down that eventually got written down, which is now called the Mishnah. They are sayings, they are piled up laws that were spoken orally that people knew traditionally this is how you need to behave. And those laws were like a hedge. So let's say the law of Moses said, I heard an example that they were to build huts during the Feast of Temples, the Feast of Tabernacles. And so the oral law, the traditions, would say how to build these huts, how many doors they would have, how strong they need to be, etc. And so the oral law would expand, would add to the written law, to the written word of God. And so these Pharisees and Jews began to place a higher value on those hedges, on those fences, because they didn't want to go to break the law of God. So they made their own laws as a fence And so they made numerous fences, numerous laws that would keep them from breaking the law. In verse 1, we see the Pharisees have come from Jerusalem. They're always on a mission to trip Jesus up, to find what he said, to accuse him of something. And so here's another example that the Pharisees are going to try to catch Jesus in what he does or what he doesn't do. And obviously they make an issue of unwashed, impure, unclean hands. Jesus gets right to the heart of the issue. He doesn't answer them. He doesn't answer why they don't wash ceremonially. But rather, he points back to Scripture, what Isaiah said. And he says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. In vain do they worship me." Isaiah was talking to you hypocrites. Jesus is very strong. He's very aggressive in how he addresses these Pharisees. Jesus did not like hypocrisy. A hypocrite is somebody who pretends to be what they are not. Biblically speaking, a hypocrite is not a follower of Christ, is not a believer, is not a child of God. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24 that they will be in the place where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He tells a parable and he says that the person who was watching, I forget exactly how it goes, but the person who wasn't watching will be assigned a place with the hypocrites where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hypocrites will not be in heaven because they pretend to be what they are not. Their inside is still full of dead man's bones, Jesus said. Their heart is far from me. The issue that Jesus brings up is they were so concerned about the outward ritual of how to wash your hands, how to ceremonially make yourself clean. And yet they were neglecting the command of God. The command of God said to honor your father and mother, but they had found a way to sidestep that. And if their parents were aging, if their parents needed their finances, they could say, "The money that I have that would typically go to my parents is Corban, is a gift devoted to God. So I can't use it to provide for my parents because this money that I have is a gift for God." And so they would sidestep the command of God for their own traditions. And that's what Jesus gets to. You guys make all your external rules, but inside the heart of what the scriptures say, you're breaking that. And then he goes deeper. He goes into the whole passage of nothing that enters a man with unwashed hands will make him unclean. So what? You didn't go through the ceremony of washing your hands, making your hands, you know, clean. But that won't affect what's in your heart. What you eat goes into your body and goes out your body, doesn't affect your heart. Your heart is what I want, Jesus says. Your heart, that's what's wicked on the inside. And that needs to change. And so, Jesus does not like hypocrisy because it doesn't address the heart. It's all external. And Jesus is primarily concerned with the heart of man. In this passage, we see three things that hypocrites believe. Hypocrites believe we can please God through religious activity. In this passage, they thought by washing their hands ceremonially, religious activity, they could please God. And it bothered them that others were not washing their hands. Hypocrites believe that we can please God through religious activity. Does that describe you and me? Am I concerned more about the external of how others see me as to what's in my heart? Can I please God by how I act, by what I say? Or is God more concerned about my heart and my relationship with Him? Secondly, we see hypocrites believe man-made rules more than the Word of God. Hypocrites believe man-made rules more than the Word of God. In verse 8, Jesus points out that they were neglecting the commandment of God to hold on to the traditions of men. In verse 9, he says, "You're experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your traditions." In verse 13, he says, "Thus invalidating the word of God by your traditions, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that." Hypocrites believe man-made rules more than the word of God. They were invalidating the word of God. They were neglecting the word of God. They were setting aside the commandment of God because they were concerned about their own traditions. Hypocrites believe man-made rules more than the word of God. A Catholic scholar said, "Tradition is the source of theological teaching distinct from Scripture, and that it is infallible. It is therefore to be received with the same assent as Scripture, for it is the Word of God." This Catholic scholar believed that traditions was on equal par as the Word of God. Jesus would call that hypocrisy, because hypocrites believe man-made rules are the same or more than the Word of God. I read of a pastor who chose to speak Sunday evening on the floor, on the platform. And this was an evening service, and afterward he got flack because he didn't even preach a sermon, because they had a pulpit, and he didn't preach from behind the pulpit. And so because he talked on the floor, maybe more of a lecture or maybe more of an interaction, however, whatever it looked like, because he didn't speak from behind the pulpit, he didn't even preach. We can get so concerned with our man-made traditions and neglect the Word of God. Thirdly, hypocrites believe the heart of man can be concealed. And the hypocrites look good on the outside, but Jesus saw their heart. And so Jesus can see the heart of a hypocrite. You may fool people, you may fool your church, you may fool your community, but you can't fool Jesus, because he sees what's inside the heart. Coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride. That's what Jesus sees. When Jesus talks to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, he rebukes them harshly. But there's one passage I want to just highlight. Verse 25, Matthew 23, 25 to 27, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of the cup may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanliness." Jesus sees the heart, but hypocrites believe that the heart can be concealed. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 1, we are warned against hypocrisy. It says, "Therefore rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind." Although a hypocrite typically, biblically, is an unsaved, is an unbeliever, the heart has not been changed, they just appear to be righteous, there are hypocritical tendencies that we as Christians can easily get caught up with, pretending to be somebody that we are not. "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind." There is a warning for us today in the church as followers of Jesus Christ. Rid yourselves of hypocrisy. Don't pretend to be somebody you're not. Don't believe that God is more impressed with the outward appearance. Don't be more concerned about man-made rules or traditions. Watch out. Don't get caught in legalism. So what's the solution? How do we break away from hypocritical tendencies? How can I make sure that I'm not a hypocrite? Galatians chapter 2 gives us an example. Peter was acting hypocritical when it came to eating with the Gentiles. He would eat with the Gentiles, but then when the Jews came, he would separate himself because he didn't want to look like he was still eating with unclean people. And Paul rebuked him. Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. But when Cephas, or Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, Jews, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcised. The rest of the Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. So Peter is acting with hypocrisy. Yeah, I'll eat with the Gentiles, but if there's Jews around here, then I won't. He'll tell the Jews, no, I don't eat with them. And so Paul condemns Peter. In verse 14, when I saw they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like Gentiles and not like Jews, how is it that you compel Gentiles to live like Jews? How does Paul confront Peter? What does he use as a measuring stick? What is the rule? What is the standard that Paul can say, according to this, you've done wrong? In verse 14, it says, you were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel will peel away the layers of hypocrisy. The truth of the gospel deals with the heart. The truth of the gospel deals with the truth of God's word and the heart issues. And then Paul goes on to say, we are Jews by nature, not sinners from among the Gentiles. Verse 16, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, that is what hypocrites do. Hypocrites pretend to be justified by the works of the law. But you, Peter, and the rest of you are not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. What he is saying is, by following the law, you will not be made right with God. By doing outward appearance, by following rules, will not make you justified, will not make you right by God, with God. But simply, faith in Jesus Christ, that is what makes you justified. And so when my heart is clean, which Jesus is trying to get to the Pharisees, when your heart is clean, then your outward appearances follow. And that's what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish so that the outside of it may also become clean. The NIV says, first clean the inside of the cup and then the outside also will be clean. Deal with the heart, and then the outside will follow. The heart needs to be transformed by Jesus Christ. Putting your faith in Jesus, that is what makes a person right before God. That is what makes a person holy. Not by washing your hands ceremonially. Not by following traditions. not by pretending. A couple of the passages that I just want to highlight and then we can close. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Romans 12, 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Again, there's a warning for us as believers that we have hypocritical tendencies. If we are more concerned about outward, more concerned about pleasing people, or perhaps should I say pleasing myself, love will become hypocritical. If my heart's desire is to please Christ by faith, being transformed by the Word of God, love will become sincere. And then I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. For I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well. I'm mindful of your sincere faith. Sincere faith means without hypocrisy. Timothy had a faith without hypocrisy. His faith was genuine. And so that's a call, that's a reminder for us as believers in Jesus Christ in the church today that our faith and that our love is without hypocrisy. It is not to be external. It is not to be pretending what is not true on the inside. Pretending to be what others, how I can present myself to please them, to make myself look good. Choose not to believe that you can please God with religious activity. Choose not to believe that man-made rules are more than God's word. And choose not to believe that Jesus can't see your heart. Let's pray. Father, I'll admit that I have hypocritical tendencies, that I pretend to be somebody that I'm not, that I'm more concerned about how I appear to be rather than reality. And so I pray, God, that you would show us by your Spirit, by your word, blind spots in our lives, areas that we have overlooked, areas that we pretend aren't there, but you can see them. And so God, teach us to follow the gospel. Teach us to follow the truth of your word. And as we read your word, as we allow it to soak into our lives, may the power of Christ, the work of your Spirit, transform us to be genuine followers of Christ with genuine love, a genuine faith, without hypocrisy. We need your power. We welcome you. We ask that you would do that work in our hearts and change us. Make us become more like Christ from the inside out. Go with us this coming week that all our activities will be pleasing to you, that you'd go with us in the aspect of protection and maybe be a blessing to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.